$700-800 billion, somewhere in that realm. And then, of course, the Obama stimulus bill, $800 billion, and now that's just about gone. Certainly, the effect of the stimulus is just about gone. And certainly, we still have rising unemployment. We have more and more people losing their homes. I think the fall in the Baltic Dry Index is so important. Bob, would you want to comment on that? Because most people don't even understand the significance of the dramatic decline in the Baltic Dry Index.
Well, countries ship things from one place to another, and many of them use ships to do that. And usually the things that are on ships are commodities, and very often they have these containers and other things.
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, right? Bob was just commenting on the Baltic Dry Index. Now, most people think that's a dry subject. They have no idea what they're even talking about. But Bob is explaining that most countries ship things from one country to another on ships. And you pick up the story, why is the dramatic fall in the Baltic Dry Index recently so very important, when they keep telling us everything's getting better and the green shoots are coming up and production is increasing and trade is increasing, but the Baltic Dry Index doesn't suggest that's true, does it?
No, it doesn't. And what it tells you is that the amount of trade between nations is slowing very dramatically. And if you look at higher unemployment in most countries, and if you look at growing inflation in many countries, and then you have a group of countries like in Europe that is engaging in austerity, although their interest rates are still relatively low, and they have this enormous debt problem that has been accumulated by the weaker members of the Eurozone or the European Union. If you put it all together, you have a world economy that's slowing down. And I was contacted today by a major network, and I told them, you know, do you really want to put me on? You got to be kidding me. And they said, yeah, they're going to come back to me. But the point is this, they wanted me to comment on the comments and writings of Paul Krugman. And what it amounts to is this. It's the same old formula that unfortunately doesn't work. And they're going to throw money at it and try to keep it going. And that is the American perspective for this Brotherhood of Darkness. And Europe is saying, no, we don't want to do that. Now, they're both wrong, and the Europeans are more right than they're wrong compared to the Americans. And the reason I say that is that they are practicing austerity, and they should be, because it's going to come sooner or later no matter what happens. In the interim, the other gang is buying time, but what they're both wrong about is taxation. If taxes were lowered sufficiently, yes, I know revenues would fall. But if you look back at recent examples during the 1980s, you'll find when taxes were cut, revenues increased dramatically. I'm not saying to do it indefinitely, but what I am saying is to do it to make the economy work until the economy can get back on its feet. And it's not only taxation. We have banks both in Europe as well as in the United States who have cut back lending by 20-25% to small and medium-sized companies, and these are the same companies that supply 70% of the jobs. So, ipso facto, if the banks loosen up, and these are good companies, most of them, and lend, then the businesses can solidify and perhaps expand, and most of them will, and that will create employment. But in the meantime, what has to be done, not only in Europe and the United States, not only Europe but in the United States, is the budget has got to be cut. And their idea of cutting is going back to where the deficit was at $400 or $500 billion a year instead of $1.4 to $2 trillion a year, which is insanity because there's not enough money out there to fund all this. With that said, the next step is loosening up with the money. That'll create the jobs and at the same time smooth things out. Whether it's successful or not remains to be seen.
But it's certainly a better idea
than what we have already.
But, Bob, they don't want to get the lending going. This is what people don't understand. You know, I have really pondered, really for a matter of months, how the M3 could be falling, and that is the total amount of money out there, total amount of dollars out there, and yet the Federal Reserve System is putting out trillions of dollars. They've spent about $2.2 trillion, something like that, on the collateralized debt obligations, buying up the faulty mortgage bonds from the banks. So how could they be putting all this money out, and yet the M3, the gross money, is falling? It didn't make sense until I read your international forecaster. And I suddenly realized that the M3 is a combination, really, as the multiple factor that we see with the fractional reserve system, by which the banks create money out of nothing, but those dollars are out there. And that when you have a bank that can lend 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 or 30 to 1 their reserves, well, you have this tremendous amount of money out there. But simply putting a couple of trillion dollars into the bowl when the banks aren't lending and the Federal Reserve is paying the banks not to lend because they don't want them to lend, but they can't tell the people that. That explains how your M3 can be falling and contracting at the same time why the government's churning out all this money. It made sense for the first time, and there's probably not one person in 1,000 Americans who realize that the Federal Reserve is actually paying the small banks not to lend money. Could you explain that, and what possible explanation could there be for that?
Well, they're paying them to do that in order to improve their balance sheets and make them seem to be
financially solvent. Solvent.
A little late in the day.
Right.
But nothing is said by government or by the Bank for International Settlements, the FASB, which is the Financial Accounting Board, about the fact that they're all carrying two sets of books. And in one set, they get all the bad stuff. And in the other set, they got all the good stuff. They occasionally bring some bad stuff over to the good books to write it off. They figure it'll take 30 to 50 years to write off all the bad stuff. And so what the Fed's afraid of is this, and they're going to use this as a last resort, and they will use it. I see it coming. Because it's going to be one of the instruments which they will use to revive the economy, which is the administration is not capable of getting large amounts, like $800 billion, of stimulus again. And you saw that when the Senate refused to extend unemployment benefits again. Now, what they're going to do somewhere along the way here is allow the banks to start lending. The problem that the Fed has is that money was lent to the banks, and it's been sterilized. It's been moved from the banks to the Fed in behalf of the banks on deposit. And they borrowed it perhaps at 0.5% or 1%, and they're getting paid 2%. So you have a riskless transaction. But in the future, the next step is to start unleashing some of that money. And the minute the sterilization ends, the next step is immediate hyperinflation. And they know it. Believe me, they know it. And this is where this thing is headed. I had to wait for weeks to see which way they were going to go in this thing. Were they going to allow the collapse of the world financial system soon? I think the answer is no. Rumors out of the Fed tell me they're talking in terms of rejuvenation of $5 trillion.
Well, of course, Krugman is talking about, you know, we're going into a deflationary depression, and oh my goodness, it's terrible, and you know, but this is where we're going. And you're suggesting he's not putting out the truth. We're really going to go into hyperinflation as they begin to mobilize all these trillions of dollars they've pumped into the system, and they've been holding it back by paying the banks interest on the money they deposit with the Fed to withdraw their money from circulation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So it's a re-injection. And most people don't understand that. Even people with PhDs in economics don't understand it, because they've never worked in the practicality, the practical world of logic. And, you know, once you tell them, and they'll either sit down, and if they're intellectually dishonest, they'll say, no, that won't work. If they're honest with themselves, they'll recognize that is exactly what the next step is. You know, I've been doing this for 50 years. I certainly didn't learn anything about this in university. In fact, I learned next to nothing in economics in university. I learned it all by being involved in finance and economics and business and so on for so many years, and paying attention and having a very good memory. And so I think this is where they had it. I think they made the turn last week. They went to the G20 and they told the Europeans, look, you can't do this. This is what we're going to do. So hang in there. We're going to save you. Well, they're going to buy another year, maybe a year and a half max. And they're all going to have to devalue. And hopefully Greece will default and leave the euro. And if they do that, the other weaker countries will do the same thing. There's four more. And once that happens, the euro will then become a non-entity. And we might even see the European Union become a non-entity. And that would be a dreadful turn of events for the Illuminati.
Well, the thing is, though, when they devalue the currency, it means that everybody out there listening in the audience will lose a certain amount of weapons they work for. Bob thinks it's going to be at a 30% devaluation, and I hope that's all it is. I think maybe they're going to totally destroy this, at least sooner or later. But you go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I think eventually they're going to do that, but they're looking for the right spot. And the spot will probably, or from their viewpoint.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Gold or silver in Sydney. On occasion, when people have actually had government officials check it out, they find that the gold and silver aren't there. We've had these instances recently, of course, when gold bars have been exchanged between countries, and they were found to be actually tungsten, just gold-plated. We find instances where countries like Germany have asked for the gold that's stored in New York, and they can't get it. The Arabs are trying to buy gold. I think the Saudis are trying to get gold, and they're buying not paper gold. They're buying, they want gold they can have in their vaults. And certainly we know that China and Russia and India and Venezuela and Brazil and a couple of other countries, their central banks are beginning to accumulate gold for the first time in really many years. So, and then, of course, Bob talks about devaluation. How are you going to get away with the American people of stealing a third or half of what they have? Why, if you have a war, why, we can blame it on Ahmadinejad, can't we? That's why a war is so important, because it gives our leaders the right to blame somebody else for the problems we're having. And whether Ahmadinejad is really real or whether he's simply an actor playing a part like Jan Smuts was during the Boer War, when, of course, he was a member of Cecil Rhodes' secret society, infiltrated the Boer government, agitated against the British, suddenly got the Boers to be willing to go along with the war. Totally unnecessary. And here's the leader, number two man of the Afrikaner Republic, is actually working for the other side. Could that thing really happen? Sure. What a number two man of the Irish Republican Army was a British agent, and they were actually blowing up a British banks and attacking and killing people in London. And the number two man was, of course, a British agent. This is how the game is really played, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question for Bob, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What you are witnessing is the demise of the American monetary system. Bob said to me, they did a great job on knocking the price of gold and silver down today. It was certainly up at 1260 this morning. I think it closed in 1230, 35, somewhere in there. How do they manage to do that?
Well, they either sell futures on the COMEX or in London, or they go into the derivative market and short gold, and they do that, they're like options in a way. And in shorting, they drive the price down quickly. And that was their intention today. And it'll probably open up about even and go back up again tomorrow. And if it doesn't go back up again tomorrow, it'll go back up the following day. They don't have the physical. They don't have that ability to drive prices down and keep them down. I don't think the U.S. has any gold that they own. There's gold in Fort Knox, that's for sure. I know that for sure. But is it tungsten with gold plating on it? Or, on the other hand, does the gold belong to nations throughout the world and not the United States? We really don't know, because it's a big dark secret. 1954 was the last time that they audited the gold in Fort Knox or any of the other locations, such as the under the Federal Reserve building in New York. So this is the kind of bag that we're into.
Well, now, how about the Central Fund of Canada? Some people say that that's pretty good because they actually do...
That's fine.
They do hold the gold and silver there.
And Sprott has the same kind of a fund. And Gold Money has the same kind of a fund. And the first two are traded on the exchanges, and the third one, Gold Money, is not. It's a private company. And they have the gold and silver outside the United States, although I think the U.S. is, as a government, is pressing forward with exchange controls, and they're going to come.
Well, yeah, I think it's really very interesting that I was reading about George Soros's holdings, and he is at least 10% in gold. Certainly we know that John Paulson, the hedge fund, the trader, I think he made something like $13 billion there betting against the housing market, and made a lot of money, but he's set up a fund that's already invested in gold and gold instruments. Same thing with PIMCO. These are very good gold hedge funds, and they think that the price of gold is going to go up all the time. Of course, most people really are being discouraged, or the financial advisors saying it's a terrible investment. But why would George Soros be investing it in John Paulson and PIMCO if it isn't a good investment? We'll be right back in just a moment with Bob Chapin. We welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Ron calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Ron. Do you have a question for Bob?
Well, yes. I was just wondering if you two gentlemen, just looking here at Financial Times, must have just came out on the Drudge Report. Kissinger warns on Afghan exit strategy. He says that the people must be prepared for a long struggle. He doesn't think Obama should bring the troops home, apparently.
Well, I think that, of course, he is one of the leaders of this whole world system. They want to keep our troops there in the Middle East indefinitely. And did you have a question for our guest?
Just your comment on that news article, basically.
Well, do you have any comment on that at all, Bob? This is basically an article that says Kissinger doesn't think we ought to pull our troops out of Afghanistan.
Henry
Kissinger is a top agent for the Illuminati, just like Zbigniew Brzezinski. And they get out front and they tell you things that they want you to believe, or they tell others within their venue, their group, their cult, things that they want them to know.
And so is Obama in trouble now with them?
Well, no, I don't think so. Okay. Obama's a stooge, just like his predecessor and other predecessors were. They do what they're told or they get whacked.
Ron, I think that you have to understand it's like Obama was going to, we were going to go ahead with offshore oil drilling. I mean, he was going to support that, and he was going to support nuclear power, and then suddenly something came up, and he just had to change his mind. Well, he wants to, of course, pull our troops out. He knows there's going to be a war over there, and when we go to war with Iran, we're not going to be able to pull our troops out. We're going to need them over there. So he says one thing, oh, that's for your benefit, but, of course, the plans are already made. He's just doing what he's told to do. Our troops are not coming home. An awful lot of them are going to die over there in the sands of Iraq and Afghanistan and Iran. They're being sent as the cannon fodder for this terrible war that I fear is coming. Okay, so say what you, this one thing just to confuse you. So, oh, our boys are coming home. No, they're not, because we're going to war with Iran. Anything else?
Well, who is he speaking for? How does he get these headlines?
Well, basically, he is one of the Illuminists, and they always give their people the key positions. Listen to what Henry Kissinger says. He'll tell you what lies ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Bob, you have a question or comment. But before we go on, I'd like Bob to go ahead and tell you how to get in touch with his website, how do you get a free copy of his newsletter, and why you should subscribe to his newsletter. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays by email. Usually runs around 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy for those who are not on the Internet, and that goes out twice a month. If you'd like a free introductory copy, you can go to our new website, www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com. If you have questions, we answer everybody. And that address is Bob@intforecaster.com. Almost the same. And if you'd like to call toll free, that number is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And everything that you need to know every week is in that publication.
All right, fine. What if you're out there in the listening audience? Our number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, this afternoon on the program, incidentally, Bob, we're not going to do a program a week from tonight because that's 4th of July weekend, so we're going to give you the day off.
I can't stand it.
Okay. But it was very interesting. A very nice lady called. And she said, well, she's retired, she's got Social Security, but she can't live on that. She needs dividends, and of course the difficulty is that everything out there, the interest rate is so low on the bonds, the interest rates are so low on the stocks that, I mean, where is she going to get her dividends? What is she going to do? I mean, she needs the dividends to live on, she's retired. And why don't you repeat what you told her, Bob, because I think that's important. People have to understand there are alternatives, although today everything you do is very risky. But go right ahead.
Well, you can go into Canadian and Swiss treasuries, but the yields are around 1%. So that's not very attractive. I am death against people chasing yields. I think it's futile. And so the only thing I see open is the trusts, which are in oil and gas. Now, the risk here is this. Oil's around $75 a barrel. If it stays there, it's fine. You get about a 7% yield. Every month they pay you a dividend. And if the price of oil goes down, the price of the trust or the stock, which you purchase, will go down as well. course, if there's war in the Middle East and we have a move to $150 a barrel, which is probable, then the value of your investment would go up. And then you'd have a problem. And the problem would be, do you take a profit? And we'll get to that later for the subscribers. But the point is, they are available, and if you'd like information on those, I can send you to someone who's an expert on that. And we do that with gold and silver shares and coins. And we never get paid anything by anybody. The only one that pays us are the subscribers. And, of course, Stan pays me $1 million a year to be in his radio program.
Right, and cheap at half the price. No, I haven't.
But anyway,
no financial relationship.
We do this to help people. And that's why Stan's on the air as well. Us two old codgers are making my life miserable for the evil people of the world.
Well, I hope we are anyway. Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Seattle. And basically, I have no financial relationship with Bob at all. Simply, we put him on because we think his information is important. And people who've listened to him overall have done, I think, very, very well. Well, let's go to Michael calling from Seattle, who's got a question for Bob. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I was wondering, you were mentioning about devaluation. Does that mean that we will have inflation? For example, if people have fixed loans, will the inflation allow them to overcome the low real estate values? And with a fixed loan, it'd be good to be in debt during inflation. If they devalue it, would they say that, or does it mean that if they devalue it, would it say bring us, you know, $10 and we'll give you $5? I'm a little confused on which way the inflation or deflation would go.
Well, a devaluation and default is a method of relieving people of their buying power. And it's also the big sufferers of people in America who are holding dollars, and those outside the country too. I think 70% of the actual physical bills are not in the United States or in other countries. And so if this is something that most people don't know, during the 1930s the British were forced to leave the gold standard. It was around 1935, and they honored the bills, the paper money, the pound, that was in the colonies in the United Kingdom. But they didn't honor the rest of it. So people who were sitting in Chile or Japan or New York who had pounds, they had a problem. They were worthless. Now, that could happen again in other countries. But as far as the United States is concerned, to answer your question, if you own $100,000 on a house and you have a two-thirds devaluation, it would seem logical to you that the loan would drop to $32,500. But there's no logic among the Illuminists because they're doing this to financially break you. And so you would still have to pay in the old loan and probably have to default, and probably go bankrupt. And that's what they want. So how do you offset that? In the meantime, you buy gold and silver assets, they go up in value, and then you can cash them in and pay off your loan.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well,
so basically, we're facing very, very difficult times because we always like to think of our currency as being stable. And it has been already, of course, for many, many years. In fact, there was really no increase in prices between about 1814 and 1914. For 100 years, prices were stable. And then, of course, we went off the, we got into this fractional reserve system, a privately owned central bank. The dollar, they had at that time, Well, it's worth about 4 cents today. A dollar's worth about 4 cents of what a real dollar was worth at that time. And they've essentially undermined the very fabric of our society and just stealing maybe 1 or 2% a year from the people. But after 100 years, after 85 years, why, of course, you've stolen most of the value of our currency. And this is what they've done. This is why you need an anchor for your currency in gold or silver, because you can't trust people. Or, as Aristotle said so well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money, as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Who among you think that we have perfect authority in our Senate or godlike wisdom in President Obama? Anything else, Michael?
Yeah. One quick thing. This financial bill that they're trying to pass, or they did pass, they talk about the fact that they'll be able to gain control of the stock market and the CFTC. If that's the case, how safe are anything we own in stocks or futures?
Well, it's in the best interest of these people to keep the market open, because they all own lots of stocks. And so they don't want the system to fail completely. They know they're going to take the system down. They know the stock market's going to go down. They know bonds are going to go down. And when it's the right time for those things to happen, they'll be on the short side of the market. And they'll make voluminous amounts of money on the way down. So they're not going to, nor do they want to, have exchanges closed. They want them open. And I see no problem with that. You could have, from time to time, markets closed down for a few days, a few weeks even. But it's not going to last long. I'm not concerned one bit about that. And that is exactly what happened during the 30s. So, it's not in their best interest.
Oh, okay. I would just say that I am a subscriber, and I've done real well with the Bob over the years.
Okay, well, that's a great testimony. Thanks very much, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
God bless, and our number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Bob about what's happening as far as the markets are concerned, and you have to understand the stock market's rigged, the commodity market's rigged, gold and silver prices are rigged. And one of the things Bob has pointed out is that once a month, why the options close, and this is sort of like buying commodities or betting on the price of gold is going to go up. But they rig the market so that the people who are investing in it always lose. And so if you know that the market is going to go down just shortly before the options close, why, of course, you want to sell before that, and that's a good time if you want to play the market to get in, and then it's going to go up afterwards. But it's all manipulated, and once you know it's manipulated, why, you're just like an insider. Would that be an accurate appraisal, Bob?
It certainly is, and I spent 28 years on Wall Street, owned my own firm for part of that time. I was one of the top brokers, certainly in gold and silver over those years, and I saw all sorts of stuff, and it's 10 times worse today. And the SEC and the CFTC look the other way to protect the major firms. I mean, just one example, the Madoff affair. They were told 10 years earlier, in chapter and verse, in detail, what was going to happen and what they were doing. And nothing was done. That's not incompetence. There was more to the story. It's just we'll probably never fully find out what happened. But there was more to it than that.
Well, there's $18 billion out there stashed away someplace, but Mr. Madoff is never going to tell where that is. And certainly, let's go to Carrie, who's calling from Live Oak. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. I'm feeling a lot more peace and serenity because I have your radio station to hear the truth from.
Well, thank you so much.
And I heard something interesting, went along with some of the things that I heard you and visitors on your program share, is the possibility that China might actually let their money float and I heard that at the G20, this is on just a tiny little blurb that went by lickety split, you know, on the radio, was that they were going to let their money float, and it was out of the G20 conference. What does that mean as far as, if you know, our exchange rate and how that will impact us? Do you think that's going to happen quickly or slowly? What's your thoughts?
What's your thoughts, Bob?
Well,
I'll go off the air now. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Okay. The question is, you know, certainly we've been hearing some things about the Chinese letting their currency float, which would mean that we'd go up in value, which would mean that Chinese goods would be more expensive in the United States, and our goods would be cheaper for the Chinese to buy. That would give us the advantage over communist China, and I can't think they're ever going to do that, but go right ahead, Bob.
Historically, the Chinese have said lots of things. And the Chinese have not carried through in many, many of those things. And so I'll believe it when I see it. And I think it was a propaganda ploy. They have 30 million people out of work. Their stock market is down 22% since October. They have tremendous amounts of bad loans. And they have a real estate bubble that's bursting. So I don't think the Chinese are about to do that. And so I think it was smoke and mirrors.
Okay, I think that I certainly agree 100%. Well, let's go to Herman, who's calling us from Carmel. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Great. This weekend I read an interesting article by Gary North, and he pointed out that historically, if you get to a point in a society or economy where you have hyperinflation, it cannot last. Otherwise, you have a total disintegration of your country. And, you know, witness the Weimar Republic in Germany. That lasted for a couple of years till the blowout, and then they had to start all over. So even in the worst-case scenario, you know, unless you're conquered or defeated in war, they're going to have to, you know, it will stabilize at some point. I just wanted to get your feedback on that.
I think Gary's
right about that. And he's a fairly good economist. I've known him for many years. It's just that he's been telling people that gold's going to get down for the last 3 years. And unfortunately, people who have listened to him have gotten absolutely buried.
And, of course, basically, that may all be well and good, but look at Zimbabwe. I mean, this is certainly a government that was placed in power by the American State Department, Henry Kissinger, been kept in power, and is still being kept in power. And there, of course, the Zimbabwe dollar, which Rhodesian dollar once was, three American dollars for one Rhodesian dollar. Well, eventually it got to about 1 trillion or 2 trillion of Rhodesian dollars for 1 American dollar, and at that point it did of course fall. But understand that they can do whatever they want to. They can either let the dollar fall a small amount, 30%, 60%, or they can totally destroy it. It was our State Department that did that. Remember, we placed Mugabe in power. I think it was an experiment to see how you destroy a great nation. Rhodesia was a first world nation. There was no apartheid. It was a wonderful nation, and I know Bob had lived there. And Henry Kissinger, the American State Department, destroyed it because, of course, these are wicked and evil people, totally controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations and now the Trilateral Commission. Of course, they're destroying nations all throughout the world. Bob, do you have any comment for Herman there?
No. I think we've covered it.
All right, fine. Anything else, Herman, before we let you go?
No, that's it. Thanks for being our guest every week.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Brzezinski has talked about the fact that the people are waking up. The Bilderbergers talk about it. Certainly the people at the G20 really don't know what to do. Certain people in Europe, places like Germany and England, want to do what's logical, try to get their spending under control. The trilateralists who control, of course, Obama, want to keep spending and spending and spend ourselves into prosperity. But, of course, it can only lead to disaster. Bob, thanks very much for being with us, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
You got it. I stayed awake.
God bless. Good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay. Thanks all for listening.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Bob Chapin, and Bob certainly is. He does probably the only person I know does more talk radio every week than I do, but he's doing a great job, and he was certainly on the television over in Athens today or yesterday, and he's going to be on Fox, and he is on a lot of radio programs reaching a lot of people, and we want to be very grateful to him because his message is basically my message. We've been at this, he's been at it 2 or 3 years longer than I have, and I'm in my 48th year, so we're trying to get people to understand there really are powerful forces behind the scenes, and behind them are powerful spirits of forces moving us towards world government. If it's prophesied, can we do anything about it? Well, I said we could delay it. We are called to do our best to sound the alarm, to be the watchman on the wall. In the final analysis, it's God's battle. But who knows, he may honor our request. It's amazing some of the things that are happening today. Our plea is what we need is a great revival. If there's any hope for this nation to survive. Well, right now we want to mention we have a great 10 DVD set called The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. If you haven't seen it, you need to get it, and you may want to get the book that goes with that, although everything's there on the DVDs. It's nice to have the book and review all of the prophecies as you see them coming to pass. It is truly amazing. And then, of course, we have his four DVD set, Pastor Crone, on RFID identification. We've got a great DVD by Patrick Wood called The Trilateral Commission. You must understand the Trilateral Commission are the people who really control America. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Let me suggest our April newsletter, and if you don't have access to the Internet, you call in to our 800 number. We'll send you one, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Get the April Radio Liberty letter. It's a good overview of what's going on. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret organizations out there. And Cecil Rhodes created a secret society in 1891, which became the Association of Helpers, which became the Round Table, which became the Council on Foreign Relations in 1921. And that's covered in Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. He was in favor of this. He went through their secret records. They let him go through them because he was a liberal college professor who believed in what they were doing, believed that we need a ruling aristocracy to take care of the common people, the little people, as they would say. The little people can't look after themselves. We need an all-powerful aristocracy, and there are only 5,000 or 6,000 of them. You can read the books by David Rothkopf. David Rothkopf, of Ruling the World and the Superclass, and he will tell you there is this elite that rules the world. He's part of it. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, works with Henry Kissinger. But, of course, he's putting this information out because they want you to know it. Otherwise, the book wouldn't be published. But believe me, he makes them seem benign, just these the nice people who want to make a better world. They want to lead us into wars and revolutions and the destruction of humanity. At least the real leaders of this, because behind them are powerful, evil, and spiritual forces. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our programs on the Internet, watch our DVDs, read our newsletters, and then please pray. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, and we'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Brian Sussman, and, of course, many years ago, Brian was the weatherman here in the Monterey Bay area on KSBW, and although you never meet these people who are on television, you get to the point where you you almost feel like you know them, and you, many people were among our family were very, very upset when Brian picked up and moved off to another larger station where he was the weatherman there. I know he went out to Beaumont Christian School and talk to my son, who's, well, he's in his 40s now, but certainly he was in high school at the time, and we still have the pamphlet that he passed out there. But Brian certainly has done a great deal of work, and of course he's coming from a Christian perspective. He's actually talks and he's done a lot of research on global warming. And Brian, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Dr. Monteith, it's an absolute pleasure. I feel as if I know you because I do spend a lot of time in the Santa Cruz area, and we have so many friends in common, so this is just a delight, and it's a real honor to speak with your listenership.
Well, thank you so very much, and we were just tickled when we found we could get you onto our program. And so, but basically, you've been doing a lot of research on this whole global warming scam, so I'm going to let you just do the talking, and I'll be quiet here, because why should we be concerned about this? Shouldn't we be concerned about global warming and the fact that the oceans are rising, and soon, why, of course, we're going to just destroy vegetation, destroy the planet?
You know, Dr. Monteith, because I do keep up on you, and I have for many years, by the way, I really have. Again, we have so many friends in common, I could start dropping names, but the bottom line is, I know that you're a respecter of the scientific method. And I always tell people this when it comes to my faith. My faith can withstand the scientific method. I don't believe in thin air. I believe in evidence. And it's the same thing when we look at, for example, global warming. I want to see the evidence. I want to see if this theory that mankind's burning of fossil fuels is warming the planet, I want to see if that holds up. And it's just amazing. I was in Santa Cruz earlier today, I will tell you, and I was outside the Whole Foods, and there were the hippies with clipboards trying to get me to sign a petition, and I saw what their shirt read, and they were Greenpeacers, and they were out to stop global warming. And I thought, this will be absolutely too easy. And my first question was, okay, if we're experiencing global warming, how much has the temperature of the Earth warmed? And, of course, you know, their guess was several degrees. It's warmed several degrees since the Industrial Revolution. I said, whoa, hold, stop. Temperature hasn't warmed several degrees. Let's get that straight. Because the temperature of the Earth since 1850, start of the Industrial Revolution, when it was in its infancy, and the end of the Little Ice Age, temperature's only risen 0.7 degrees Celsius. That's a little more than 1 degree Fahrenheit. Now, right then and there, they don't want to deal with the facts. They say, well, where did you get those numbers from? And I was going to say, well, I wrote this book, but I thought, I'll just move on. But Dr. Monteith, the point is, the temperature has only risen 0.7 degrees Celsius since 1850, and most of that warming was before 1940. Since 1998, there has been absolutely no warming. So if you're going to have global warming, it seems to me like you should have global warming. We're just not seeing any of the warming. The other part of all of this is CO2. Back when I was a kid learning about photosynthesis and various atmospheric cycles, I remember hearing that CO2 was a nutrient necessary for life. Now it's been vilified as some type of poison.
A toxic and noxious gas. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Brian. And, of course, it's been said, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something it is if you say it often enough and convincingly enough, people will believe. And I wonder how many people in America realize this is an essential element for life of human beings and for flowers and trees and vegetables and fruits. I mean, how this is suddenly a noxious gas and has been declared so by the Environmental Protection Agency. Go right ahead, Brian.
Yes, it's just amazing. And now we have the EPA, as you mentioned, deciding that CO2 is a pollutant. It defies logic, but people are believing this. They just believe it's so. Okay, so let's talk about how much CO2 has increased since this beginning of the Industrial Revolution. Well, it's increased about 33%, best we can tell. But okay, now, doctor, let's talk about how small a sliver of the Earth's atmospheric gases are these carbon dioxide particulates. It's 38/1,000 of a percent. That's how much CO2 is in our atmosphere. 38/1,000 of a percent. That's it. Now,
How much of that's contributed by mankind? Well, according to your own government, only 3%. 3% of 38 one-thousandths. I can't imagine a number that small, Dr. Monteith. And again, how much has it increased since the Industrial Revolution? 33%. Okay, well, some might say that's 33% more than it was in 1850. But here's another thing to consider. If we look over the Earth's history, we can tell via various proxy data that the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere has at times been 6 to 12 times what it is today. So, again, it's a bunch of fall de rats. They're not using data correctly, and the scientific method has fallen apart on its own merit.